You're listening to the teaching ministry of Michael Williams, pastor of International Outreach Church, located in Wills Point, Texas. Get ready to be challenged, charged, and changed by the Word of God which you're about to receive.
You know, it's been an awesome, we've had an awesome weekend. It's been an awesome, like Chris saying, quoting Dave, it has been an awesome ride for 30 years. I can say that, these two can't. But anyway, you know, this whole weekend has been a celebration of 30 years, but it's not just a celebration. It is a preparation for more years to come. And, you know, I'm supposed to introduce you, so I had to, you all know Dad's testimony. You know where he's come from. You know, Mom and Dad, you know, came out of Lakewood, and they were called. Dad was called to minister, but then he later was called to pastor here in Wills Point. And you may have been called to Wills Point, but we've been called to you. And we've been called to serve you, and we've been called to serve under you and to serve others through you. And we don't have, there is nowhere else to go because we don't have a better example. We wouldn't know Jesus as well as we know him without you as our leader. You know, in 1 Corinthians 11, Paul says, he says, follow me as I follow Christ, or imitate me as I imitate Christ. And every time I hear that scripture, every time I read it, or I say that scripture, I always think of you two, because you are our example. You are the best example of Jesus that we have. And so I'm going to follow you. And we all are. We can all say that. And we can, and especially us five, we can testify of your consistency. And that is what is key to a great leader, is that you're consistent in church and out of church, at home. And you've been that. The both of you have been Jesus 24/7. And, you know, I think the greatest compliment I could ever ask as a teacher is that I remind you of my dad, that I teach like my dad, that we sound like our parents, that we, you know, we hear it all the time. Well, you act just like your parents. You act just like your mom, because you are the best example we have. It doesn't get any better than that. And, you know, that's why we save the best for last.
That's right.
This weekend. So join us in welcoming. We're 10 minutes. Join us in welcoming the founding pastor of International Outreach Church, our pastor, Michael Williams.
It'll take me 10 minutes to quit crying. I'm going to share a little bit with you. You know, they got that crying for me, I think. I think the older I get, Dan, I think the more I cry. I don't know. I think it's something to do with age. I can't imagine 20 years. I'll just be crying all the time. I just, that's the highest accolades I could get. You know, Brother Osteen said, I'm always quoting Brother Osteen. He was my pastor and impacted me. Thank you, honey. I'll need that for sure. And, you know, you just carry it on. It's what you do. We're just a product of what happened in his life at Lakewood Church. And then, you know, this church will, if Jesus tarries, other churches will start out. Pastor Rance, we had minister yesterday at ministers in Greenville, Faith Outreach in Greenville, 13 years. That's an extension of what went on here. You know, we're all... You know, we all stand on the shoulders of giants, for sure. But Pastor Osteen used to always say, I'll not go around the whole world and let my family go to hell. As I can honestly say that my greatest focus of faith and prayer, of all the things I believe and pray, and has been my family. I mean, I think that's the greatest testimony. The greatest testimony in our lives is that our family is serving God. I think that is the greatest testament. Now, if yours not, you pray for them and you believe and you center in, you focus on your family. But I know I'm doing good. I know I'm doing good when I look at my family. I know. Church doing great. We're doing a lot of stuff. But I tell you what, my children are going to heaven. Amen. Hallelujah. And for them to rise up and call us blessed, oh, man, that's just icing on the cake. Hallelujah. Well, hey, let me share with you a little bit here. Real quick. Are we going to have children's church for 10 minutes? You want to have No, would y'all give me 15 minutes? Could you do that? Okay, who give me 15 minutes? 15, 30, 45, okay. No, okay. We're going to dismiss the children? Okay, we're dismissing the children for Children's Church. Let's give them a big hand as they go. Hallelujah. We have just had some awesome meetings this weekend, Friday night, all day Saturday, and Saturday night. It's just over the top. Every minister, I think, is just was just the best I'd ever heard of minister. We've been impacted. We've been blessed. And I think it goes without saying that the highest accolades and all the praise goes to Jesus. If without him, we're nothing. You know, we're eternally, forever marked as Jesus' people. Whether we're Baptist, Methodist, Pentecostal, Nazarene, what, you know, you go down the list, we are Jesus' people. That's who we are. And that's the name that's going to outshine the name on the building. You know, we've been going 30 years. Well, Jesus always existed as the Father, I mean, as God, and then he's been around as a man for 2,000 years. And he's changed history, split it right in half. Hallelujah. We're living in A.D., the year of our Lord. Praise God. That's what he did can never be done, never be outdone as far as his redemption, his death, burial, and resurrection. I'm saved, going to heaven. You got life. You're going to live forever. You can face the future with courage and with faith. You can look at that casket, that grave of that loved one, and know they're in heaven and know that you will see them again and know that day may be coming for you, but you got nothing to fear. Hallelujah. Because of what Jesus did 2,000 years ago. What an awesome, awesome thing to rejoice in. Just our salvation, just our redemption. This week we've been talking, a lot about dreams, visions, you know, looking another way, I guess you'd say. In fact, if you have your Bibles turned to 1 John 4, I'm going to share one verse there and may go to another one. And this conference has been about insight. We've been giving insight for 30 years. Every church gives you insight into things that you don't hear outside church. You know, for instance, people getting their lives turned around, getting saved, people accepting Jesus as Lord and Savior. You don't hear that on CNN and Fox News and MSNBC and ABC and CBS and, you know, all those channels. If you want to know about people getting saved, then you have to go to church. We are forever the reporters of God. And we're the magazines of God. We're the ones that report the things of the Lord. With our mouth, we make known God's faithfulness to all generations. And so you come and you find out, it's like another world, really. It's insight. Everybody say insight. Okay, insight into what God's doing. And that's the good news. That's where courage and hope comes from. It doesn't come from the world. It doesn't come from your experiences. It doesn't come from the crisis and the tragedies and the things that you face. I'll tell you, insight and revelation and hope and courage comes from God's Word. To be encouraged, to have courage put in you, to be enthused. You know, actually enthusiasm comes from the word theos, to put God in. God in you enthuses you. That's a fascinating word. So if you want to be enthused, you want enthusiasm, well, get God in you. Amen? Get courage in you. Hallelujah. We can be encouraged and we can be enthused by the Word of God with insight. That's what we've been about. That's what our church has been about helping people find Jesus, find life, find their purpose in life, and not just find out that God loves them and God wants to heal them and help them and bless them, but God wants them to go out and heal and help and bless others. Amen? And it's pure and simple what we're about. Every church should be a refuge of hope and healing and deliverance. It should be a place where people can come and find help and get back on their feet and be a part of the answer instead of part of the problem. God really does want to use you. He wants to heal you, he wants to bless you, he wants to forgive you, but he wants to put you to work too and make you a blessing, amen? And so that's what church is about. That was the vision that I had, and I've shared that many times. I hate to even mention it because I'm already on a blubber route right now. But when I was 20 years old, I'd been saved 1 year. You know the history. I was 19, drugs and jails, I was kicked out of high school, never finished high school, but I got saved. Somebody witnessed to me on a job at 19, and I turned my life over to Jesus, and man, it's been different ever since. And I've been saved a year, and I was going to Lakewood Church in Houston, Texas, and in a service, and you know, I just love the Lord. I was glad to be saved. Man, I just telling everybody about the Lord and happy to do that the rest of my life. I mean, I had no expectations, no goals in the sense of ministry as far as that was concerned. I just happened to be saved. I just thank God for my salvation. And I was in a service and the Lord spoke to me, actually gave me a vision, an open vision. I don't know whether you believe that or not, but I had it. You didn't. I know it. Are you with me? And I was in that service, and I saw my hometown, and I saw a church I recognized in that hometown I know very well. I saw people going in the front of that church, some of them I recognize also. And they were going in looking good, all dressed up, looking fine, smiling, happy. And I saw them coming out of the back of that church, all beat down, all tore up and depressed and hurt. And I heard God say in my spirit, I heard him, I was just 20 years old, and I was gritting my teeth, trying not to weep, because I really wasn't into that yet. I'd only been saved a year. And, you know, you kind of macho, you're 20, you don't cry. You know, you just don't cry. Men don't do that. And so I was really, you know, fighting this thing, and we were in this service, and I kept seeing these people. I was hurting. I was seeing these people go in better than they came out of a church, of all places. And God said, I want you to do something about that. And I said, this is the way I talked back then. You just have to realize I've, you know, newly saved. And I said, you got the wrong cat, Jack. I said it 2 or 3 times. I was gritting my teeth. I said, no. I was happy to be saved. I can't do anything about that. I said, God, leave me alone. You have got the wrong cat, Jack. Wrong cat, you know. And God said, I want you to do something about that. It's like he didn't hear me, you know. Like he wasn't paying any attention to what I was saying. And I said, God, I can't do anything about that. I can't. And he finally said, I'm calling you to teach my word. So he said it to me. I mean, I didn't know anything about God. I didn't, you know, I mean, I've been saved a year, and I was happy to be saved. And, man, I had no aspirations to teach or preach. I had no education. I had no money. I was working as a laborer on a construction job at that time. And yet God knows more than we do. You know, God sees what we don't see. You talk about insight. God sees insight. He has insight. You know, anybody can count the seeds in an apple, but God can count the apples in a seed. See, God sees what you can be. He sees what's inside of you. We see the outside. Man looks on the outward appearance. God looks on the heart. And God's not really looking for somebody to do something for him. He's just looking for somebody to do something through. And if he picks you out, he'll give you the power, and he'll give you the ability, and he'll give you the open doors, and he'll give you the favor. Are you out there? And if he says, I want you to do this, he's not going to leave you alone. He's going to help you. He's going to be there, and he's going to empower you, and he's going to make it happen. So I gave up. And I said, okay. And I'll never forget the minister that night. It was like a Monday night. It was a special meeting. Memorial Day weekend, 1976 is when it was. And after this person ministered, prayed for several people. In fact, it was a lady minister got up. Don't know where you stand on that, but this was a lady minister, and if you think you can keep them quiet, you try it. I'd give up long ago. But she got up, and she was ministering, and when she got through, and there was just hundreds of people there, she said, you know, God's done a lot of things here tonight, but he's called one young man to teach his word, and walked off the stage. That's the last thing she said. And boy, it hit me again. I thought, oh, Lord. So I was embarrassed. I didn't want to tell anybody. I didn't even tell Brenda. I mean, we got home to our apartment, and Brenda, we went to bed, and Brenda laid down, went to sleep 5 minutes like she always does. And how do people do that? I don't get that. I mean, you know, I wish I could just lay down and go to sleep, but my mind's just reeling, you know. So she went to sleep, and I creeped out of bed, went into the little living room we had, and I said, okay, God, I'll do this. I don't have any money. I remember going over all this, because I didn't think God knew. You know, he may not. There may be some information here that he's not privy to, and I wanted to inform him, you know, that what was going on. I said, I don't have any money. I don't have any education. I don't know what you think you're doing, but I will do this. And I remember saying this. I said, I'll go all over the world, teach your word. That's what you want me to do. And little by little, step by step, God began to use me in that respect, and I have. I've been all over the world and finally made it to the greatest place on the face of the earth, Wills Point, Texas. And 1982, we started this church, hallelujah, and I'll tell you, it has been a ride, Dave. It's been a good ride. And we're just revving up our engines. We're just now, you know, we ain't even hit top speed yet, but it's coming. Hallelujah. But see, God saw something that I didn't see. And God sees something in all of us that we don't see. And you need God to bring out of you the things that God has put in you. It's the same thing with Adam when he was lonely and alone in a garden. You know, he named all those animals, and there wasn't one of them that was sufficient to be a help to him, and he was alone. And it's not right that man would be alone, is what the Bible says. So God caused a deep sleep to fall upon him, and he took a rib out of him and made Eve. You know the story. But what it comes down to is it took God to bring out of Adam what God had placed into Adam. And Adam never would have got it out. He would have never fulfilled his destiny, and God took advantage of what God had placed in him. Woman was in him, but God had to take woman out of him. And God has to take out of you the things that he's put in you. If you're a Christian, you're a believer in Jesus, all things that pertain to life and godliness are inside of you. And what we do, all we do is when we get here and we minister the word and preach and teach the word, is bring you insight. You to see what is inside of you, to see what you are in Christ, to see that you can do all things through Christ, to see that greater is he that is, here's the verse, 1 John, y'all found it? 1 John 4:4, you are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that's in the world. It's not what's outside of you, it's what's in you that's going to make the difference. And without God's word, without church, without fellowship, and without praying, without teaching and preaching, you don't know what's in you. You don't. You're not empty on the inside. You know, there's a great saint, Catholic saint, Teresa of Avila, about lived around 1500s. Saint John of the Cross was a contemporary of hers. Wrote "Dark Night of the Soul." Teresa of Avila, however you pronounce that. Wrote Interior Castles, wrote a lot on prayer. She was a great teacher on prayer back in the day, you know, 1500s. That was back in Dan's time. I wasn't that alive at that time. But anyway, she said this, and I thought it was really good. I wrote this. Said, within us lies something incomparably more precious than what we see outside ourselves. Let's not imagine that we're hollow inside. We're not. And I'll tell you, when the pressure comes on, it's what you got inside that keeps you going. You know, I've seen an illustration. I believe it was Pastor Don did it. He's always using props. He had an empty Dr. Pepper can, and he had a full Dr. Pepper can, which we have a lot of those around the house with one sip out of them. Because we have grandchildren, you know, and nobody knows what happened to them. They don't know who opened them, but anyway. But you take an empty Dr. Pepper can, and you take a full Dr. Pepper can with the top still on it, they don't look any different. Till you try to put some pressure on them. And you will collapse that empty can. And it looks exactly like the other one on the outside. And the one full, I don't care how strong you are, you can't move. You cannot budge it. Not because of what's on the outside, and not because of what it looks like on the outside, but because of what's on the inside. And I'll tell you, we go under because we don't have a revelation of what we got on the inside. What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which you have of God, and you're bought with a price? Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. See, there's something on the inside. There's someone on the inside of us. Hallelujah. And what we need to do, some people are nearsighted, some people are farsighted. What we need to develop is insight. Isn't that right? I mean, if you're nearsighted and farsighted, you're limited to what you can see. Everything's kind of a blur at a distance or close up. As I've gotten older, you know, I have glasses that I put on. I only wear them for appearance. They cause things to appear when I wear them. But what happens is if you lose sight of something, you don't know what's there. And that's the way it is. Inside of you, as a Christian, as a believer in Christ Jesus, and there's two ways of looking at everything. There's looking on the outside, and there's looking on the inside. We have such reason to believe, such reason to stay strong, such reason to have hope. Because we are believers in Christ Jesus. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away, all things have become new, and all things are of God, who hath reconciled us unto himself through Christ Jesus, and given us the ministry of reconciliation. You know what Paul said right before that? We often quote 2 Corinthians 5:17. But he said, though I have known Jesus in the flesh, I know him that way no more. I know no man after the flesh anymore. So we look at people and we see the flesh, but what we don't see is what's on the inside. We look in the mirror and we see the flesh, but we don't see what's on the inside. Now, if any man be in Christ, that's the next verse he says after saying all that. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Woo! Makes me want to shout. Come on, when I think about the Lord, how he saved me, raised me, filled me with the Holy Ghost, picked me up, turned me around, makes me want to shout. Because something's on the inside of me that's far greater than what's on the outside of me. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. What did Samuel say in the 16th chapter of 1 Samuel? And I'm wrapping this up. 1 Samuel 16, where he was going to pick out a king. You know, God sent him to Bethlehem to pick out a king from the sons of Jesse. And he took a sacrifice with him. Saul was king, but God had rejected Saul. And he told Samuel the prophet, go to the house of Jesse, and I have a king there I want to anoint. And he had 8 sons, and only 7 of them were there. And so he said, bring all your sons. He said, I'm going to pick out a king. And Eliab, the oldest son, came before him. And this is what it says. Samuel looked at him. He said, surely this is God's anointing. I mean, he looked good. I mean, he probably looked just like me, you know. I don't know what he looked like. He probably tall, you know. And God said, no, I haven't chosen him. God doesn't see as man sees. Man looks on the outward appearance. God looks on the heart. How many times we look on the outside of a situation, outside of the circumstances of what we're facing, the tragedy that we're facing, we forget the greater one lives within us. We forget that we're new creatures in Christ Jesus. And we forget we have the victory through Christ Jesus. And we forget that we triumph in Christ. We forget that we're more than conquerors through him that loved us. Hallelujah. We forget that we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. You see, we got a problem with our vision. We don't see right. We need insight. Having an identity crisis. Church is going through an identity crisis. They don't know who they are. Hello. And sometimes we don't know who we are. But with insight, we can figure this thing out. Amen. You know, they didn't receive Jesus at one point because they knew who he was. He was the son of Joseph and Mary. His brothers and sisters were there. This is Mark the 6th chapter and also Matthew 13. And it says he could do no mighty work there because of their unbelief. Didn't say he would not, said he could not. Said he could not do any mighty work. One translation says he marveled at their unbelief. But what was their unbelief? What did their unbelief come down to? It came down to them not being able to see beyond the outside of Jesus. They couldn't see what was inside of him. They couldn't see God in him. Sometimes we cut ourselves off from ministry. We cut ourselves off from the promises because we don't see God behind it. Maybe we don't like the way somebody wears their hair. Hello. We're looking at the outside, but we're not looking at the inside. We look at a situation and it looks bad. The checkbook looks bad. The body looks bad. The doctor report looks bad. Thank God for doctors. We're not against them. But I'll tell you, that's not the whole story. Inside, there's something greater in us than there is on the outside. Hallelujah. And we need to develop spiritual eyesight. 2 Corinthians 4:18 says, while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary or temporal, the things which are not seen, they are eternal. And think about this. In 1 Corinthians 2:9, it says, I have not seen, ear not heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things that God hath prepared for them that love him. Oh, hallelujah. We're talking about what God can do. We're talking about God pulling you out of the mess. We're talking about God putting you back on your feet. We're talking about God empowering you and God helping you and God strengthening you and God healing you and God putting your marriage back together. But see, you're not going to see that with your natural eye. Eye hath not seen, ear hath not heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things that God hath prepared for them that love him. But God has revealed them unto us by his Spirit. That's insight. That's spiritual eyesight. Hallelujah. What man knows the things of a man save the spirit of man which is in him? In him. Everybody say in. Oh, I love this. You got to learn to live from the inside out. You got to develop insight. It says, what man knoweth the things of man save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so, the things of God knoweth no man save or but by the Spirit of God. So we've been given the Spirit of God to know the things of God. And he goes on, he says, now we have received, not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. which things we speak. Not with the wisdom which man's words or man's wisdom speaketh, but which with the Holy Ghost speaketh, comparing spiritual things with spiritual things. Now listen to this. It goes on, he says, but the natural man receives not the things of the Spirit of God. That natural man, that mind, that sharp mind you got sometimes is your worst enemy. You can be too smart to get this. You can't be too dumb, but you can be too smart. All you have to do is believe. But sometimes we're too smart. It says the natural man receives not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned or understood. Hallelujah. Well, we come to church to develop our spiritual eyesight. We come to church to develop insight. 30 years we've been providing insight into the things of God to get you to develop your ability to see things spiritually, to look at things not seen, but the things which are not seen, for the things which are seen are temporary, the things which are not seen, they are eternal. Hallelujah. These are eternal truths. You commit to this, and I tell you, your life will be better. There's going to be ups and downs. There's going to be battles, sure, but you'll come out winning. Hallelujah. You'll still be standing when the rain's over and the waves keep beating on your house, because you'll build it on the Word. Hallelujah.